All right, this is Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Tony Serino of Locked On Steelers, joined today by David and John of Locked On Chargers. Guys, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, doing wonderful, man. I always love doing these crossovers, get the perspective of the opposing team and their fans, just kind of get an inside look at that team, man. It's always fun. John, how are you doing, man?
I'm nervous as hell, my friend.
This is a big one, man. Sunday night football, Tony, in Pittsburgh, bright lights. It's going to be fun.
This is a marquee matchup this week in the NFL. The NFL switching this game from a 1 o'clock start to an 8 o'clock start. Sunday night football between the Chargers and Steelers.
It almost didn't happen too.
That's right. Yeah. They had originally locked this game in at 1 o'clock. And then because I guess they couldn't find a Sunday night football game to replace. What was the original Sunday night football game this week?
I believe it was Seahawks versus 49ers.
That's right.
NBC tried to buy the game off of CBS, and they told them no. And I guess there must have been some kind of deal made that eventually made them change their mind.
Yeah. They must have backed the dumb truck full of money into CBS headquarters, because this game now ends up on Sunday Night Football. And it's a marquee matchup. Look, these are two of the best teams in the AFC. If you talk about the AFC, there are four pretty good teams, right? Chiefs are obviously the best team in the AFC right now. You got the Patriots right behind them, but the Steelers and Chargers, and really with the Chargers and the run they've been on, we'll talk about them in a second, but they have been on a fantastic run. They may even be separating themselves from the Pittsburgh Steelers. But we're going to find out on Sunday Night Football how these two teams match up. Today, we'll start with a season overview for both teams, how the Chargers have looked so far in 2018 and how the Steelers have looked. Guys, let's start with the San Diego Chargers. I make this mistake every time.
Yes, I love
every
this time. Guy.
Every time.
I love this guy.
How are the L.A. Chargers looking so far in 2018?
The first time.
Well, the L.A. Chargers are looking pretty darn good. I mean, they started off against some pretty tough opponents. The first, two losses came against the Rams and the Chiefs. That at the time, we didn't know what kind of monsters they would become, but now we know they're two of the best teams in the league. And, then the Chargers rip off about six in a row. Go on the road, go to London, go to Cleveland, win some big games, some close games that they definitely would have lost in the past. I think this is a rugged team. I think it's a good road team. And, they're sitting pretty nice at 8-3. John, what are you thinking so far for the Chargers this year?
I feel like our record is a lie. I mean, yeah, it says we're 8-3, which most people would go, oh, my God, it's a really good record. They should be winning their division. But, of course, we know how good the Chiefs are. But some of those games, man, we were lucky to win. Stopping the Seahawks at the 1 yard line twice. Stopping the Titans from getting a 2-point conversion to win the game twice. Having a tip pass happen to land in your defensive lineman's hands against the Niners to clinch the game while being only up two. And then the Bronco game basically showed what this team is when it doesn't have things just fall their way. And I feel like the Bronco game is what the Chargers really are. And if they want to win in the playoffs, they got to improve from that.
It's so interesting listening to you guys talk about the Chargers, because I feel like it's like Freaky Friday and we flipped spots, because it's exactly how I feel about the Steelers. The Steelers have gone on this six-game winning streak, have it ended by the Broncos in weird fashion. Do the Steelers have a really marquee win on their record right now? Not really. I mean, they beat the Panthers, but the Panthers have subsequently lost three straight. You look through the Chargers schedule. You guys are right. You look at they lost to the Chiefs and Rams, and those are good losses, as they would say over in the college football program. But here in the NFL, the Chargers don't have a marquee win, right? I mean, what is the best win the Chargers have had so far, the most impressive win they've had so far?
In Seattle.
I think it's got to be the one in Seattle. I think that's a really hard place to play. I don't believe that Russell Wilson had lost to an AFC West or an AFC opponent since he had took over as starting quarterback until the Chargers went in there this year. In a hostile environment and beat the Seahawks in their home, which, like I said, never happens. That's got to be the marquee kind of win or signature win so far for this team so far.
Oh, and it was a hostile environment. That place is so beautiful and loud. And to see how well Rivers threw the ball in that game, it has to be probably the greatest game we've played so far, in my opinion, as well. You could say the Cardinal game because they blew him out, but the Cardinals are garbage. As Kay Adams would say, it's like a guy leaving the toilet seat up is what you do.
So over in Pittsburgh, things are gloom and doom, of course, because the Steelers broke their 6-game winning streak by at the hands of the Denver Broncos in a very strange game. I know you guys talked about the fact that the Chargers, kind of everything went wrong for them in that game against Denver. Boy, things couldn't have gone more wrong for the Steelers as well. a blocked field goal. Xavier Grimble fumbles at the 1-yard line and ball goes out of the back of the end zone. James Conner fumbles on a weird play where his legs were taken out from underneath him, and yet he loses the ball anyway. Two interceptions, including one at the goal line by Shelby Harris, a defensive tackle, who, by the way, is the only defensive tackle in the NFL this year with an interception. One of the strangest games of football I've ever watched. The Steelers accumulate 500 yards of total offense, only put up 17, and one of those touchdowns was a fake field goal, kicker to left tackle touchdown.
Chris Boswell to Villanueva.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
It was a great call, and it was a great call in that moment, but... Would have been much sweeter if the Steelers had gone on to win that game. The Steelers are in a weird spot right now. They're 7-3-1. They are ahead in the AFC North, and they seem like they're going to be wrapping up the division at some point here in the near future. But for the Steelers, everything is about playoff seeding at this point, right? The road through the AFC playoffs is a very difficult one when you have to go to Foxborough and to New England and beat the Patriots and then potentially face the Chiefs in Arrowhead in the AFC Championship game. It's going to be a tough schedule. And right now, the way the seeding works out, the Chargers and Steelers would actually meet in the first round of the playoffs if the playoffs started today. So this is a big game for both teams. The Steelers need to start accumulating more wins to get themselves back into the picture, at least for the 3 seed ahead of the Texans, so that they can avoid teams like the Chargers to start here in the playoffs or potentially work themselves back into that AFC bye week. But this is going to be a really fun game. The Steelers fans have circled 3 games for the second half of the year. And it starts here. This is kind of the appetizer for Steeler fans. LA Chargers come into town. Then 2 weeks later, you got the New England Patriots coming to town. And then next week, the Steelers go to New Orleans. Some 5-star matchups for the Steelers on their schedule. But this is kind of the appetizer for that 5-star matchup lineup. All right, before we continue, I want to let you guys know about Blue Chew. If business is not booming in the bedroom, guys, you got to head on over to BlueChew.com. They bring you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill. Blue Chew is prescribed online, and here's the best part. It's because it's prescribed online, you don't have to visit the doctor. You don't have to have that awkward conversation, right? You're going to have a live chat with a doctor there. They'll prescribe it to you online. It'll ship to your door discreetly. So no doctor visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA and they prepare and ship directly, so they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we got a special deal for listeners of this podcast. If you visit BlueChew.com, you're going to get your first shipment free when you use the promo code Locked On. You'll just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it free. All right, guys, and then let's transition over talking about this matchup itself. What are you guys looking for on the Chargers offense when they're on the field? Phillip Rivers coming off of a performance where he threw just one incomplete pass. So I guess you guys looking for him to go, 28 for 28 this week?
Yeah, that would be great, but let's wake up and face reality. This is a much, much different and much better defense, on the Pittsburgh Steelers side than there was on Sunday against the Cardinals. I mean, these are two different echelon type of teams. I mean, come on now, let's be real. We don't expect that to happen, but we do expect there to be a lot of throws on Sunday, with Melvin Gordon probably going to miss this one with an MCL sprain on a just boneheaded call from Kendall Winslow Hunt up 18 points. I think the offense is going to be centered around Phillip. And, I think there's going to be a little bit more passes, short passes as an extension of the run game. John, what are you thinking?
There's not really much you can really do except for you have to out-talent the Steelers, basically. And you got to go to your go-to guys and try to outsmart Mike Tomlin, which is really hard to do. That guy's almost a genius, if you will. I don't want to say complete genius because he has made some boneheaded stuff in his past. But I want to see us try to do more misdirection type thing. So, like when we did the jet sweep reverse that got Melvin Gordon hurt, use that in the beginning of the game, not when you're winning the game. But use more of those. Try to get Keenan Allen active with those quick slants so that you can try to open up Austin Eckler with the swing routes more. You got to do things that aren't about going deep down the field. You got to just slowly but surely tire out the Steelers defense, because these guys will fly over the field and they will throw their bodies into you as hard as they can and not think twice about it.
Who are the Chargers going to be lining up as their starting running back? Is it going to be Eckler at starting running back?
Austin Eckler with Justin Jackson as the backup, and then maybe you'll see some of Detrez Newsome.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Justin Jackson's going to be getting the bulk of the actual carries. You're probably going to see Eckler just more as that receiving back. But, you know, they'll mix him in too. But that's probably going to be the dynamic on Sunday.
But your expectation going into this one is going to be that the Chargers are going to lean heavily on the passing game because they're without Melvin Gordon. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, you got to focus on what your strength is. I mean, you know, Melvin Gordon's one of the best backs in the league, but, you know, he's not going to be there on Sunday. So, you know, when they do run the ball, I mean, they got to suit to these players' strengths. So, you know, that's, you know, getting it out in space and letting those guys, you know, use their wiggle to, you know, get yards after, you know, contact. I mean, that's what Eckler, you know, he's a small guy. Justin Jackson's a small guy as well. They, you know, they do better running out in space. So they got a game plan accordingly with those type of players. But yeah, with that being said, I mean, I think Phillip Rivers has to be the guy who's going to, you know, control this train because, you know, Melvin Gordon's because of his absence.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's such an interesting matchup. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. So we actually have a sample size, if you will, of what this offense looks like without Melvin Gordon. And that was when we went to London and played the Titans. We all woke up in the morning with Twitter going, oh, hey, Melvin Gordon's not playing. And we're like, what the hell happened to Melvin Gordon? And it showed a difference. We had only two really good plays the whole game, and those were two deep touchdowns to Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams. Other than that, we really struggled to move the ball. We got two field goals the rest of the game, and that was it. We couldn't move the ball really well without Melvin Gordon in there, and Austin Eckler couldn't really get going because we were too busy running him up the middle like you would with Melvin Gordon. Anthony Lynn was really trying to stick to his game plan rather than adjusting to the players. And in the press conference this week, he said he doesn't plan on switching the offense, which worries me because if he doesn't switch this, the Steelers are going to blow this game away.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's an interesting matchup, the Chargers offense against the Steeler defense. You know, without Melvin Gordon there, I think a lot of Steeler fans are excited about this matchup because run defense has been a problem for the Steelers in the last couple weeks, especially without the defensive end Stephon Tuitt. The Jaguars had a bunch of success running Leonard Fournette. They couldn't parlay that in anything with the passing game due to the play of Blake Bortles. But the Broncos also had some success. You saw Philip Lindsay run for over 100 yards and nearly 8 yards a carry in that one. And so, you know, coming into this game and hearing that Melvin Gordon is likely to miss this football game, I think a lot of Steeler fans are saying, okay, this is, you know, this can be a good matchup now, because if, you know, the Steelers really going to allow someone like Austin Eckler or Justin Jackson to accumulate a bunch of yards on the ground? And if not, then the Chargers become a one-dimensional offense, and that's right where the Steelers want them to be. I'm not as confident as many Steeler fans are this week in Chargers offense versus Steelers defense. I think, you know, the Steeler defense over the past month has looked really good, and it's been impressive at times, but this is still a defense that to start the year had a lot of miscommunication in the secondary. They were allowing big play after big play down the football field. They've tightened some of that up, but they also haven't faced a quarterback of the caliber of Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers right now is playing really, really well. You saw that last week against Arizona. I know you guys said that the Steeler defense is so much better than Arizona's, and it probably is on the whole, but in the secondary, there are still a bunch of problems that I have with this defense. You still got a rookie out there in Terrell Edmonds who is still too hesitant at times, not sure where he needs to be on the football field. And, you know, are the Chargers going to challenge him deep down the field? Absolutely. Are they going to be challenging guys like Cody Sensabaugh at the outside corner position? Absolutely. Are they going to be challenging the inside linebackers, like you guys said, with some running backs out of the backfield, some misdirection? Absolutely. I expect the Chargers are going to have a ton of success on offense this week. I expect this to be a high-scoring game, and on both sides. I don't expect the Steeler offense is going to struggle too much. I mean, they've done a good job in the past couple weeks when they're not playing the Jaguars of accumulating yards and when they're not fumbling out of the back of the end zone, accumulating points. So I do expect that this is going to be a high-scoring game, but this matchup between the Chargers offense and Steeler defense is an interesting one because, you know, the Steeler defense has looked, it's looked competent over the past month, but I think when you, they haven't faced a team like LA just yet, and we're talking about guys like Keenan Allen and Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams. By the way, how Mike Williams, he spent his entire rookie year injured, if I remember right. Has he come on this year as a legitimate threat in that Charger offense?
Oh, yeah. You know, it seems like every few catches is a touchdown for Mike Williams. And last week he caught two touchdown passes, and they were both really good plays. He's a long, big, strong receiver, 6'4", 225 or so. I mean, this guy goes up and gets the football. I mean, you know, that's what he's kind of built for. That's what he's known for. And he's starting to do that this year. I think he's got about 7 touchdowns already. He's a legitimate red zone target. And he, you know, like I said, he's a big guy, so he's going to be hard to cover and out jump. So definitely look for him to get some targets in the red zone for sure.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough ask for this Steelers secondary to be. You know, obviously Hayden will probably cover Allen for the entire game, and they don't usually like to do that where Hayden will shadow someone. But I think this is the exception to that, where he's going to have to shadow Allen wherever he is. And then, you know, you've got to contend with guys like Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams, who can, like you guys said, they will beat you down the field. That's my worry in this game, is the Steelers revert to that kind of miscommunication in their secondary, and teams really, like you saw Matt Stafford do this last year against the Steelers. He put up 400 yards in a game where they only kicked field goals, but he was so good at pushing the ball down the field and getting big chunks at a time. All right, so we're talking about scoring output for the Chargers offense. Are you guys worried in this game going in? I mean, is it, for you guys, looking at this matchup between the Chargers offense and Steeler defense, does this look like a matchup where the Chargers can put up a lot of points?
Yeah, no, I definitely think there's potential to put up a lot of points, but they have to, you know, they definitely have to account for the pass rush. I think Steelers got a pretty darn good one, and, you know, Phillip Rivers is pretty good against the blitz. I mean, usually gets the ball out quickly, but, you know, you never know. I mean, you know, the other Watt guy, you know, we got one of those on our team. TJ has, you know, he's having a pretty good year. I mean, he's definitely getting some pass rush, and I know, you know, that's just a really good pass rushing team, you know, just normally. So, you know, they got to account for that. But I think there are some plays that can be made against, you know, some of the linebackers that you mentioned, you know, especially, you know, you might see Antonio Gates get a couple of catches in this one too. I mean, he's still actually being able to move, which is crazy at 38. John, what are you thinking so far about this?
I'm not confident at all. Without Melvin Gordon, I don't see this offense moving up and down the field. We might have a couple of good drives, but after that, I think it catches up to him. They have so many good guys on this defense up front, and if I'm the Steelers, if there's no Melvin Gordon, I'm sending everything at Rivers and having someone spy a running back out. I'm taking someone from this defense and spying a running back and just sending the house at Rivers and stopping the running backs for a 2-yard gain on those little pass routes. Because if you don't have Melvin Gordon to try to sneak it through you in the run game when you blitz and he sneaks through one hole and there's no one there to stop him, Austin Eckler is not really that great at doing that up the middle. He's more of an outside guy. If I'm the Steelers, I'm going right up the middle, going after Rivers, and I don't see Rivers being able to complete many passes in this game.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, right? Because the Chargers probably will be one-dimensional the entire game, which will allow the Steelers and their pass rush to kind of tee off on Rivers. And that could definitely be a difference in this game. The Steelers have been very good in their pass rush the past couple weeks, especially on the interior of their line. They have a nose tackle, Javon Hargrave, who's been playing more on pass rushing downs, and he's been very, very good over the past month. He's kind of an X factor for the Steeler defense in this game. Cam Hayward, of course, is great. Go ahead.
Your whole up front guys, like all your defensive tackles and linebackers, are supposed to play in this game, right?
Yeah, the Steelers, so they've had incredible injury luck this year. And yes, Stephon Tuitt, their defensive end, is going to be healthy again, and that will make for a pretty healthy front seven. We'll see. They do have a linebacker, Bud
Cameron
Dupree.
Hayward,
yeah,
Cameron
yeah.
Hayward, you got Hargrave, you got Tuitt, TJ Watt, and even Bud Dupree, and Vince Williams a little bit too.
Yeah.
Vince Williams isn't the greatest guy, but he can definitely make a difference in this game. Dupree's been injured a few times this year, but I know he was questionable last week, right?
Who's that?
Bud Dupree.
Bud Dupree, yeah. So Bud Dupree played last week, but he's going to be questionable going into this week. He has a pectoral injury that Tomlin said may limit him in practice. And if he's limited in practice, then, you know, that's when you start talking about a guy. Maybe he can't play. Because when the Steelers are guys are limited, they generally are kind of 50-50 going into game day. So we'll see how he does. If he can't go, it'll be Anthony Ciccolo starting on the outside. And the Steelers only have three edge rushers on their roster at all. It's T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree, and Anthony Ciccolo. So we'll see if the Steelers have to make a roster move in the event that Bud Dupree can't go. But, they are going to be healthy on the defensive line for the first time in a couple weeks, and that's a big deal because they've kind of been gashed in the running game a lot. You know, the Chargers not having a running game in this one is going to be interesting, right? And we're all just saying that they're definitely, you know, that Eckler's not going to have a good game or Justin Jackson not going to have a good game in this one. I think what's going to be really interesting, though, is if this game were to come down to, you know, Chargers get the ball, 3 minutes to go, up by four, right? And they just need to get first downs and run the clock out. Do they lean on the running game then, or are they using play action? Are they still using Rivers to get first downs? Can they not lean on a running game at that point? Because of the fact that Melvin Gordon's on. I think if we're talking about how is the running game going to play, it's more likely that that scenario plays out, that they can't lean on a running game at the end of the game rather than it being a problem early on. I think the Steelers secondary is ripe for the picking at this point.
All right, well, I think it's going to have to be something that's going to be – I'm sorry. I was just going to say it's going to have to be flow of the game. But I guess we're going to have to find out.
Yeah. So let's transition over when the Steelers are on offense, Chargers are on defense. Joey Bosa back. He's healthy again. The Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa tandem is a pass rush. It is, you know, the Steelers just came off of playing Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. What are you guys hoping for the Chargers defense in this game? It seems like this is a game where it's, you know, really on both sides of the ball, but it's going to be all about the pass rush.
Absolutely, and thank goodness Joey Bosa is back and he's actually healthy. He had two sacks against the Cardinals on Sunday, and he had five pressures. So, I mean, he was consistently getting into the backfield, which is something that has been sorely missed. I mean, when you got a good pass rush, Tony, I'm sure you know the defensive backs don't have to cover as long. You know, you cause mistakes, errant throws. You get sacks. I mean, those guys create impact plays. They just make everyone's job on the defense easier. So with Bosa being back, it's just helped a already pretty decent defense just get a little bit better.
Yeah, I think the thing about a guy like Bosa and Melvin Ingram is, you know, everyone looks at the sack numbers and says, oh, those are the best pass rushing teams, are the teams that have the most sacks. But you look at a guy like Bosa and guys like Melvin Ingram, you have to game plan around stopping those guys, right? The Steelers are going to have to use James Conner and chip him more or keep a tight end in to chip one of these guys, because otherwise these guys wreak havoc on every play. And while they may not be, you know, accumulating a ton of sacks, and of course for Bosa, he's only been back for three games, so he hasn't had an opportunity yet. It's about getting pressure on the quarterback, getting him off his reads, getting him to throw the ball before he wants to. San Diego, here we go again. It's number two.
Yes, I love this guy.
LA Chargers are that's such a big part of what LA does on defense is getting to the quarterback and just getting him off his spot, even if it's not getting the sack. And you saw that a little bit last week and against the Jaguars as well. Ben Roethlisberger just being a little less comfortable in the pocket. And when that happens, you know, Ben through what? Four turnovers in the last two games. So for five, is it five turnovers in the last two games? God, he's thrown too many turnovers. But I think, yeah, you guys are right. The pass rush here is the factor. Yeah. What about the LA second? Go ahead.
But here's the thing, though. Roethlisberger is not exactly a scrambling QB, but he is definitely the type of guy that gets out of the pocket and extends plays, and he does it very well. And the Chargers in history have struggled against guys that extend the plays or can scramble really well. You're either a scrambling QB or you're an extending QB. And as much as the pass rush plays a role in this, it's can you keep him contained? Are you going to keep him in the pocket? Are you going to be able to not over-pursue and allow him to escape out one little hole and start extending the play? Because you got guys like Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown that, if they get a little bit of time, they're just going to run around the field and just make you eventually get tired and you can't keep up with them. And then here comes a 40-yard bomb from Roethlisberger. And once you start trying to play contain, here comes James Conner up the middle with our injured defensive line. And injured linebacking core that doesn't tackle the greatest. Even though Jatavis Brown has been better the past few games, he still struggles at tackling. If I'm the Steelers, I am running the ball up the middle and setting up a lot of play action and letting Roethlisberger just roam around the pocket and trying to get out and create space.
How healthy is LA's defense right now? Because I'm looking through the roster here. I'm seeing Derwin James obviously has been terrific so far in 2018, but I'm also seeing Uchenna Nwosu, Kaiser White. These are rookies.
White's out. Yeah, he's done for the year. And Brandon Mebane missed last game. He's our starting defensive tackle. He missed last game. Right now he's questionable. Corey Legit is out for the year. He was also on the defensive line. Denzel Perryman, our run stuffing linebacker, that I feel like we would have a way better chance against the Steelers if we had him. He's done for the year because he played on that horrible turf in Oakland and ruined his knee. So there's a lot of guys that are key parts in the front seven that are missing. And when you're playing a team like the Steelers who have that really good offensive line and a decent running game, especially a guy like James Conner who at one point during this year was putting up better numbers than Le'Veon Bell had the year before, you got to have that front seven. If you don't have it, then you're going to have a long day.
How do you guys see the Chargers secondary matching up against Antonio Brown, Juju? You got Ryan Switzer in there. I don't know. I don't actually know how the Steelers are going to line up their wide receivers this week because their rookie, James Washington, had a horrible play where he could have just run underneath the ball and caught a touchdown. Instead, he elected to dive for it and didn't catch it. Like I said, the Denver game was strange. But so it may be the idea this week that they're going to play Antonio Brown on the outside, Juju on the other side, and then Switzer in the slot. It's one thing they did against the Broncos a lot. How are the Chargers going to match up in the secondary against those guys?
I mean, I think they're going to, you know, match up, you know, decent. I mean, obviously, you know, Antonio Brown's one of the best in the league. Juju Smith-Schuster already over 1,000 yards so far receiving this year. I mean, those are the two guys you got to take away on the Steelers offense. I mean, so I think they're going to, you know, probably try to double both of them. I mean, it seems like that's the recipe, you know, try to take those two guys away and make anyone else on the Steelers offense try to beat you. So I think that's, you know, the formula that you kind of have to follow. And I think Casey Hayward will probably follow Antonio Brown most of the time. And then you'll see Michael Davis and possibly Trevor Williams in there trying to take care of Juju Smith-Schuster. But it's, you know, it's going to be a thing where they're just going to have to try to contain them. You know, you can't really beat them all the time, but you got to try to bottle them up as much as possible, John.
Yeah, we talked about injuries. Trevor Williams, also a guy that's been injured. He's missed the last couple of games, so I don't know if he's going to play this game. But if he does, if we have Casey Hayward, Trevor Williams, and Desmond King in there to go along with our safeties, I mean, Jahlil Dye, not really, but I mean, it's better than what we've had the past few years before him. I think we could limit the Steelers, but you're definitely not going to stop Antonio Brown or Smith-Schuster. And then if you're trying to stop those guys, somebody else is going to get open, whether it's one of the tight ends or another wide receiver like Switzer, as you mentioned earlier. It really comes down to, can you keep Roethlisberger in the pocket and then slowly collapse the pocket? Because if you can't do that, if Roethlisberger's getting out of the pocket, it doesn't matter what our secondary is going to do, because we're just going to give up big plays at a time. And one thing that worries me in this game that I think is going to be interesting, David can back me up on this. Before the Cardinals game, we had given up 2 fourth down plays on fake punts. And Mike Tomlin is probably one of the most gutsiest coaches in the league, going for 2-point conversions a lot of times out of nowhere, like the first quarter, and you're already up 8-0 because he went for 2, going for a fake field goal when you're on your own 3-yard line. This guy is gutsy, and he does not mind calling a trick play or going for it. I'm wondering if we can see another fake punt play this game.
God, I hope not.
I think it'll depend on... Oh, man. It's really going to depend on how Tomlin feels about the Steelers defense matching up against the Chargers offense, right? If he feels confident that the Steelers are going to match up well, then I think he'll just punt it away and trust the defense. But if he doesn't, absolutely. I mean, you know, Tomlin was a guy who did an onside kick in the playoff game against the Jaguars last year because he didn't think the Steelers could get a 3-and-out against the Jaguars. I mean, he will absolutely try some sort of fake or some sort of way to change the momentum or something like that. I think that's definitely going to be the case. And I think, you know, looking at How does Tomlin, how does the Steelers offense approach this game? Because like you guys said, the Chargers front seven a little beat up now, especially as a run defense. I'm interested to know if the Steelers are going to try and get Connor involved a little more. He had that big fumble last week. You know, didn't see the ball again until the second to last play of the game. They haven't really gotten him going in a couple weeks. And their offense, you know, they moved the ball last week, but against Jacksonville, they really struggled. I'm interested to see if they want to get more balanced offensively, if they want to get Connor more involved early on. You know, do they want to kind of control the clock in this game? Is that a way? Or do they feel like they have to get big plays, big chunks down the field, get Ben Roethlisberger in a rhythm, get this passing game in a rhythm, jump out to a big lead and put the pressure on the Chargers? Because I think the Steelers offensively can have some success. It's going to be about, you know, kind of how they want to attack it this week. I think it's an interesting matchup because you have a guy in Connor who seems to be losing a little bit of confidence after the fumble, after missing the game winner against Jacksonville. He kind of went right through his hands. I'm interested to see how the Steelers attack the Chargers offensively.
Well, I think they are going to start out with the running game because in past Steeler games that I've watched, the Steelers always come out, start running the ball on the first drive, and they usually do really well at it. Like when they had Willie Parker back in the day, they would start out the game with him, and he would get 7 yards a chunk, and they'd move down the field and score on the first drive, and it set up the rest of the game. And then there was games where even when they weren't running the ball well, they would still do it just to wear out the defense so that the Steelers later on in the game can pick up the speed. And there's even games where the Chargers held the Steelers to like 11 points, but because of how little Phillip Rivers was on the field, he couldn't get into a rhythm, and that kept the Chargers from scoring anything. That was the game we lost 11-10, first time that score ever happened in NFL history. And the only time I've seen the Chargers really beat the Steelers is when they've shut down the run game to start the game. And that would be like 2006 and 2012 when that happened.
Hey, so let me ask you, just from your perspective, you know, as a Steelers fan and just kind of, you know, the feeling around, you know, other fans of the Steelers, how are they feeling about this game? How are they feeling, you know, just confidence-wise when they see, you know, the Chargers on the other side?
Well, like I said, I think there is some confidence in the fact that Melvin Gordon's not going to play in this game. And so defensively, the Steelers probably match up a little better there because their secondary hasn't been exposed like it was early in the year. I think a lot of Steelers fans are in for a rude awakening in this game. I think this defense is going to look much more like it did at the beginning of the year than it has for the past month or so. But I think there's another contingent. There's another part of Steeler Nation that is just worried about the idea that, like you guys were talking about at the top, the Chargers haven't beaten anybody yet, right? Their most impressive win is going to Seattle. The Steelers' most impressive win so far, beating the 4-1 Bengals on the road, beating the Panthers on Thursday Night Football. You know, the Panthers are 6-5 now. The Bengals are 5-6, and a team totally collapsed. I think there's a lot of worry in Pittsburgh, not just about this game, but about the stretch ahead. You've got Chargers, Patriots, Saints coming up. It's a dangerous road here because the Steelers, like I said, they absolutely have to get into that 3 seed or 2 seed if they have any chance of making a real run in the playoffs. It starts with this one. I think that, you know, it's a lot of worry for sure. But at the same time, with Melvin Gordon being out, you have that glimmer of hope that, hey, maybe defensively we can get some stops and this offense can go back to being the high-flying offense we saw against Carolina 2 weeks ago and put up the kind of 30 or 40 points I think it's going to take to win this game.
All right. Well, I think we adequately went over both teams, Tony, John, and I think, you know, the next thing to do is to put our money where our mouth is and go ahead and do a prediction, and we'll do that right after this.
All right, then let's talk about our predictions for this game. First of all, I want to say, I know today's sponsor is not MyBookie, but if you're looking at the over-under in this game, the over-under is only 51.5. And regardless of whether the Chargers or Steelers win this game, I think there is 100% going to be more than 51 points scored in this football game. So bet the over if you're into that kind of thing. But for me, when I look at this Steelers-Chargers game, like I said, it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think both offenses are going to have success. I'm not worried about Philip Rivers. If I'm a Chargers fan, I'm not worried about Philip Rivers and his ability to move the ball against the Steelers secondary. The only thing I'd be worried about, like you guys said, is maybe the pass rush getting there and the Steelers forcing him into some silly turnovers, although the Steelers have not been a defense that's turned that's turned the ball over well. I'm looking at this being a high-scoring game. I'm looking at something like 35-30 Steelers, the kind of high-scoring games that we've seen when two of these top teams match up. What about you guys? How do you guys see this one playing out?
John, go ahead and start with yours, man.
I can see a tie, like the Browns and the Steelers. No, let's be real. That ain't happening. I had to bring it up on the show. You guys tied the Browns.
We did.
You were the first non-loss in a while. But yeah,
appreciate you bringing it up. By the way,
I got to show you guys some love. You know the usual. But I don't see us winning this game. I think we're going to really struggle in this game. I think the Steelers probably win this game somewhere around 34-17. I just don't see us move the ball without Melvin Gordon.
Interesting. So you're talking about like an actual, potentially a blowout in favor of the Steelers.
Yes.
Wow.
That doesn't surprise me at all, honestly. But I don't share those same sentiments. On the contrary, I do not believe this is going to be a high scoring game. I think, the Chargers only given up about 20 points per game. The Steelers only given up about 22 points per game. I don't think this is going to be a high scoring game. I think it's going to be a low scoring game. And I think it's, might come down to a last possession, but I, for some odd reason, I think the Chargers are going to have some, a lot of success through the air in this one. I think Philip Rivers has a hot hand, and I think this is going to be the statement win. I mean, and if they do, I think if the Chargers do beat the Steelers, they will officially, be, they'll officially have arrived. Think this is the type of game that they have to win. And if they do, they'll definitely put their names out there. But, for me, I think it's going to be low scoring. I'm going to go 21-17 Chargers.
I'd be very surprised if there's not a ton of points scored. This is the modern NFL right now. It's just so hard to play defense in these kind of games when you have these high-powered offenses. But like you said, the storyline coming out of this game, if it does play out that way, if the Chargers are able to pull off what is essentially an upset here in Pittsburgh, absolutely, the Chargers move into that, the tier one ranking of, hey, this Chargers team is for real. They're a legitimate contender in the AFC. And you really send the Steelers into somewhat of a, not a tailspin, but a minor tailspin, let's say, after a poor performance against Jacksonville. They then lose to Denver, and then they lose back-to-back games if they lose this game against the Chargers. It'll be very interesting storylines coming out of this one if the Chargers are able to pull off this win. All right, guys, this was fun. Thank you. Thank you guys for joining me. Where can people find your work on the internet?
Yeah, they can check out our shows on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. We put out our shows 4 to 5 days a week. And on Facebook, you can find us at LockedOnChargers, and we share all our shows on our, on all our social media. And of course, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're definitely out there.
All right, you guys can find me at Locked On Steelers on Twitter. Follow us on there. And then you can find us on Facebook, Locked On Steelers, and also on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. This was fun, guys. Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, man. Good luck after Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely.